moving on, though, there are lots of famous inventions and lots of famous inventors and lots of people, not just people who've invented things, but people who have done amazing things that have transformed our world. And we've been looking at a series on Moses, and he would arguably be one of the people who transformed the world for the Israelites of that time. So we're going to carry on finishing our series today with Moses' death as he hands over the baton to the next leader and is going to read. I'm going to mute everyone, so Rob, then I'll be fine.
The reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 30. Then Moses climbed Mount Nebo from the plains of Moab to the top of Pisgah, across from Jericho. There the Lord showed him the whole land, from Gilead to Dan, all of Naphtali, the territory of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the Negev and the whole region from the valley of Jericho, the city of Palms, as far as Zoar. Then the Lord said to him, "This is the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, when I said, 'I will give it to your descendants.' I have let you see it with your eyes, but you will not cross over into it." And Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in Moab, as the Lord had said. He buried him in Moab, in the valley opposite Beth Peor. But to this day, no one knows where his grave is. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. The Israelites grieved for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days, until the time of weeping and mourning was over. Now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom, because Moses had laid his hands on. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses. Since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all those miraculous signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his officials and to his whole land. For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all Israel.
So we're going to think finally about Moses' last moments on earth and anything that we can learn from that today. But while we're listening, if you're wanting to be creative or doodle as you listen, then I'd like you to depict one of Moses' greatest moments. It could be a drawing or it could be a creation, or you could have more than one. There were many great moments of Moses. But while you're listening, if you want to depict one of his great moments that we might have read about or not, if you think there's a greater one, then do that while you're listening. As we've said, there are many people who have changed our world. People who've invented amazing things, which is what we were talking about a few moments ago, and also people who have achieved great feats, both of which have brought change and transformation to the world in which we live today. And depending on which era you've lived in and which era has shaped you, you'll no doubt hold up one amazing person over another. And so it's no surprise, as we said, that the Hebrews, those who were the people of God, those who were slaves under Pharaoh and those who had been brought out of Egypt, as well as the Israelites who followed God after them and the Jews who followed Jesus later on, held up Moses as their person, their hero, their champion of the faith, this mighty man of God who had done amazing things. They held him up as the one person who had changed the world in which they live more than any other. After all, it was Moses who had defeated Pharaoh, who had had them as slaves. It was Moses who brought the plagues upon Egypt. It was Moses who instigated the Passover. It was Moses who led the Israelites across the Red Sea and through the wilderness. It was Moses who had then presented the Ten Commandments from God. It was Moses who interceded for the people of God again and again. It was him who brought the rules and the regulations that created the temple in which they worship. It was Moses, if you like, who laid the foundations for their life and their faith and their way of being. It was God who worked through him, but it was Moses who, by the hand of God, had created a people from whom all other great prophets came, right up until the time of Jesus himself. And so as we get to the end of Moses' life in our reading today, you would have thought that when it comes to his death, when it comes to the time that Moses was to leave this earth, that this great man of God would have the most amazing goodbye you've ever seen. Maybe if we had imagined it, we might think that Moses would have walked triumphantly into the promised land, leading the people he had brought out of Egypt and through the sea and across the wilderness into the place that God had promised to them at the beginning of this journey. It would be a fitting end for Moses to see the culmination of this journey with God. But even if he didn't, as not all amazing people see their achievements to pass, when he did die, it would surely be right to have a suitable goodbye for him. maybe a monument would be built so that all could remember this wonderful man, or maybe a great parade or a ceremony or a celebration to commemorate his achievements. After all, this is what we do, isn't it, when people who have achieved great things die. This is what we do when their lives come to an end. Martin Luther King Jr. had 100,000 people at his funeral after he. Mother Teresa, although a little overlooked by Princess Diana when she died in the same year, had still had a state funeral, which was unknown in her time. Nelson Mandela had presidents and prime ministers from around the world who came and attended his funeral. Isaac Newton had a funeral fit for a king. And Mahatma Gandhi had 2 million people in a 5-mile-long procession following his. Because when people who we believe have made a difference in our world pass away, we make a big thing about it. We remember what they have done. And good or bad, we build monuments and we have services and we instigate holiday in our country. And yet here in the Bible, in the book of Deuteronomy, the book that holds the account of Moses' last moments on earth, Moses, this great man of God, well, he neither enters the promised land, has a funeral, or is given a place to be buried. Instead, he dies in the in Moab with no known place. There's no triumphant entry. There's no big goodbye. There's no monument or procession. There's simply a death, a time of mourning, and then a new leader to take the people of God into the next chapter. And what's more, we find that the reason Moses is not allowed to enter the promised land in a triumphant fashion before he dies and end his journey there is because of one mistake. One mistake that he made in the wilderness. It's recorded in the book of Numbers where Moses struck a rock at Meribah to get water for the Israelites instead of speaking to the rock as God had told him to do. So because of this, God refuses to let Moses enter the promised land, instead letting him view its expanse just before he dies, saying, I've let you see it with your eyes, but you will not cross over into it. And so Moses dies in the wilderness. The people of God grieve until the time of weeping and mourning is over, and then they move on. No monument, no procession, no record of where his body lies, just 11 verses in the Bible to inform us of what has happened. And you know, to us, with all our great monuments and our funerals, this may seem a bit of a strange ending for a man who was so influential. Not even a grave to visit or a place to ponder his life. And yet it's also very fitting for Moses to go in this way. Because the end of Moses' life and the end of the book of Deuteronomy really is the end of an era. It's the end of the Torah, the first 5 books of the Bible. It ends the formation of the people of God for the salvation of the world. It ends the law-giving and the law-making. It brings to an end a certain chapter in the life of the people of God. They may not have quite entered the promised land, but they are a people. They're ready and waiting. And Moses was a part of that chapter in their history. And so in a way, it's fitting that he dies as the book ends. Do you know, when we put the boys to bed at night, we read a bit of story of their book. And it used to be that you'd read a whole story because it was a picture book, but now we're on to chapter books. And so we read little bits of books as they go to bed. And I'm one of these people who can't cope with stopping a story in the middle of a chapter. It just doesn't fit in me. So I normally read like either a whole chapter, or I'll read till one of those little page breaks that they have if it's a long chapter. And you know, more often than not, the boys will go, oh, just can you just read a little bit longer? I'm so enjoying the story. I realise that they actually want to, so they'll do. But, you know, I'm swayed, so I'm like, oh, just a little bit longer. And then I get all flustered because then, you know, the chapter's too long and I have to end at the end of a paragraph. And it's just not right. It's just not right for me. Because I like to finish at the end of a chapter when everything's in the right place, or in a page break when it's, but, you know, it's not always. And so when Moses dies here at the end of Deuteronomy and Joshua takes over, it makes sense in the story of God. It's like the end of a chapter. It's like a page break. It's right. Yes, God could have overlooked Moses' one mistake at the rock in Meribah. He could have let him into the promised land. After all, we heard Moses was 120 years old when he died. Yet his eyes were not weak and his strength was not gone. He could have carried on. But you know, at the end of the day, the truth is the story of God is not about Moses. However great he was and however many amazing things he did, because he, this great man of God, is just a part of the story of God's great love for his world. And that's not to diminish or belittle the things that he did. After all, this passage in Deuteronomy talks of the mighty power and the awesome deeds that Moses performed. No prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, it said. But it's also telling that when Moses is remembered here, he is referred to as the servant of the Lord, the one whom the Lord knew face to face, the one who the Lord said. Because as we know from the beginning of his history, Moses wasn't chosen for his greatness or the wonderful things he had done. He was chosen for Israel's destiny. And in that sense, his job was finished and Joshua's was about to begin. Do you know, it reminds me a little bit of the beginning of the book, The Purpose-Driven Life. It's a book written by American minister Rick Warren, and we studied it in church a number of years ago. And the thing that's always struck me about this book is that at the beginning, it starts by saying, it's not about you. The purpose of your life is far greater than your own personal fulfillment, your peace of mind, or even your happiness. The book then goes on to talk about how special we are and how God loves us and he has plans for us. But in effect, the book begins with the words, life is not about you. Now, not everyone would agree with this, and maybe I phrase it, life isn't just about, you know, it's about so much more. But the reason Moses lived his life like he did is because he knew this. That's why he gave up his home and his livelihood and his security to return to Egypt and the uncertainty of freeing the people of God. Moses knew that life wasn't about it. And so he led the people into the wilderness. He listened to their complaints and he interceded for them. He didn't give up because he knew that life was not about him and his greatness. It was about God and his ability to heal and restore and make the whole earth here created whole again. And Moses was a part of it, which is why Moses is remembered later on in the Bible for above all else, not his greatness or his deeds or his might, but his faith. That in the book of Hebrews, it says, by faith, Moses refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh, but instead ultimately chose the path of God. And that by choosing to faithfully walk with God, he chose to become part of a bigger story. One that was so much bigger than himself. And because he did this and kept doing this right up to his death, at the end of his life, we can look back at all the great things that he did. And, you know, in some amazing way, it's the same for us too. It may not surprise us to know that we, like Moses, are not the centre of the universe. Life is not about us. I think this is becoming more and more apparent each day at the moment as we look at the news and the decisions that are made. But what might surprise us is that we, like Moses, are a very special part of God's story as he seeks to bring healing to our world. And our challenge, I guess, at the end of this mini-series that we've been through, a challenge that today is probably more difficult than in Moses' day, is to make sure we remember that life is not just about us. And that in and amongst all the pulls of our world that seek to make life all about us, we continue to trust God, to keep our eyes on him, to choose again and again to be part of a bigger story. Not just our story, but something bigger than ourselves. With the hope that one day, if we continue doing this, like Moses, we'll not only be remembered for some of the good things we've done, but we will first and foremost be remembered for our faith, that by faith we live, and hope by faith we did amazing that we could. We're going to take a little look at what Moses did before we look at that you've created and doing any creations. Because even though Moses was part of a bigger story, there were amazing things that he did. And so we're going to watch a clip of DVD. It's a song. You'll see. It's fun. I like. And it's about the great things that Moses did. So sit back and enjoy this. A nice little reminder of all the things that Moses did. A little jiggy tune, I thought. Have a little jig along. I think it was only me. So did anyone do any creations, Moses' greatest moments, while you were listening, or were you just listening? If you did, any chance of seeing them? No.
I tried to draw a picture of Moses and God meeting face to face, but I rubbed it out because you can't capture that kind of thing very easily.
you tried, Emma. Oh, Mom, you've got something. What we got? You're on mute. Hold on. There we go.
It's supposed to be parting of the Red Sea, but you can hardly see it.
Oh, no, I can see that.
Yeah. I've written Red Sea.
just so we know.
And water closet, just so we know.
Yes, excellent. Very good. Anyone else have any greatest moments from Moses? No. Do you know why this is? It's because Conrad's not here. Oh. I don't know. We'll have to ask him. Well, Moses had some great moments, and we can look back over Moses' life and we can think, oh, he lived a great life. Look at that. Look at all the things he did. What about my life? I mean, you know, he went through and he beat all the odds and he led the people. But Moses' life was hard. And there were many times when Moses didn't want to carry on. He said, I can't do it. You've chosen the wrong person. I can't go and do that, Lord. I can't go and do this. But God gave him all that he needed. I've got a quote here from Brené Brown. I don't know whether we can have that up on screen. Because often we think having faith is doing amazing things, and it does turn out that we do amazing things. But Brené Brown says this: I thought faith would say, I'll take away the pain and the discomfort. But what it ended up saying is, I'll sit with you in it. And you know, God walked with Moses as he had faith in God. God was with him through every moment, through every amazing thing that happened. And that didn't mean that he found it easy and that all the problems were taken away, but it did mean that he was walking with someone greater than himself in part of this big... And so I hope that we can continue to hold on to that faith we have in God, whatever we face, and to look back at the story of Moses and to see the amazing things that he... But to know that he is remembered above all else, his faith. We're going to sing together as we finish this more formal time together, although I felt it's been very relaxed. We're going to sing "The Lord's My Shepherd," and you're all muted, so that's great. Sing away as loud as you want.